Guys, it's a privilege. I'm glad we have so much time to have our guest speaker up to speak. Who remembers Peter Finch? That was with us, Pastor Peter Finch. That was with us at the fire conference just a couple of weeks ago. Well, Mark is a good friend of Peter Finch. And Peter had asked me way before the fire conference, look, Mark is in town, and I'd love you to connect. I'd love you, if it's possible, to have Mark speak at Liberty. And Mark speaks really, really highly of Peter speaks really highly of Mark. And also, actually, I was on to someone this morning, or someone was on to me that knows you, Russ Klein. And he told me to say hello to you. And he's going to be with us in a couple of weeks, Russ. And Russ says he's a good man. So I think out of the mouth of witnesses, we can take that this man is good. And we just asked Mark to speak what God has put on his heart. We've asked Mark to go for ministry at the end. And we've lots of time in our hands. So I don't know what I hope I'm going to say his name right. Mark is from Canada. And his name is Mark Brisebois. All right? Give it up for Mark Brisebois.
That was perfect. Buenos dias a todos. Nosotros muy contento aquí a Dublin, Irlanda. That's Spanish. It's for the preparation for the Mexican night. mi amigo guapo. Yeah. So great to be here. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. Then I'm going to provoke you, because I see something in you that maybe you don't see in yourself. Let me just tell you a little bit, get some of the family stuff over, because, you know, especially sometimes people ask, well, do you have a family? Do you have any kids? So I'm married. I've been married for a few years. Can't remember how many now. It's been so long. But I have 5 children. I have 3 grandchildren. We've been in ministry now in Canada for a lot of years. I pastor a church. We've had a television ministry nationwide in Canada. I write articles. I've written a book. I've written 5 books, only finished one. But I was born again supernaturally. Supernaturally. Everybody's born again supernaturally. It is a miracle, birth. Birth is a miracle. Natural birth is a miracle. Spiritual birth is always a miracle. It's not going to happen because you convince people with the preponderance of the evidence. It's not because you're going to give them more facts and more good arguments on this side. You can't convince somebody to be saved. It takes an epiphany. It takes a revelation. And for that, it has to be supernatural. Amen? Now, I expected you guys to be a little more rowdy. I heard this is a younger church, not an older church. You know, if you're all old, I would expect you to, you know, some of you be nodding off here. But you guys are young, right? Let me ask you this. Anybody ever been to a football match or a rugby match? Are you that passive there? Right? You know, like, I've seen excited Irish people, and you know, they get up in your face. Canadians are hard to preach to because Canadians are all cerebral. You know, they're like, let me think about that. That's why I love to speak to Americans. Americans are with you all the time. If they agree with something, yeah, that's true. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Why is this important? Because you have a sound. You have a sound. This morning in the worship, I was waiting to hear your sound. I heard some sound, but I didn't really hear your sound. There's something inside of you that you don't understand the power of yet. And God is bringing it forth. In fact, I want to tell you that I know a lot of you have been saved in the last number of years, and you haven't had. But the next stage of your redemption is discovering your sound. And I'm gonna preach about some of this, what it looks like. But there is this colossal global plan that God has to not only get people saved and out of sin, but he's going to do more than that. He's going to transform the earth. He's going to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You know, in heaven, it says that the 4 beasts are before the throne of God, and they're worshiping God. along with the tens of thousands and thousands and thousands that minister to God continuously. But these four beasts say day and night the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Anybody remember what they say? Oh, good, because I forgot what it was. Thank you. And if all, you know, who was and is to come. Holy, 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 holy. Do you think after a little while that might get boring? Right? You know, it's like man, give us a new script here. Right? But they don't get bored. And they're not conscious of time. And they're not looking at their, you know, I get to knock off here in about an hour and a half. Let the next shift of beasts come in. They are energized and propelled by something that causes a continuous flow of worship. In heaven, that's how it is. There is a continuous flow of worship, and it's not battery powered. It comes from the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. There is a captivating presence that defines and orchestrates the affairs of heaven, and it emanates from the throne where God sits. And the four beasts and all the activity around the throne is energized by the glory that flows from him. And I can just see the multitudes and the multitudes in complete awe of God. And just a slight movement of his. Have you ever been in a soccer stadium? There's a near goal and you hear 50,000 people at the World Cup and go, what do they do? What do they do? And there's almost a goal. Say, whoa! Now let's do it together. Ready? One, two, three. Whoa! Yeah. You know, and so if you listen to the soundtrack of that football match, there's these ebbs and flows, and it's based on the energy, the activity, the opportunities in the game, and it's exciting. Well, all of heaven, tens of thousands of thousands of thousands, they're constantly in awe, constantly worshiping, but then God does something spectacular. He twitches. And like the sun setting off solar flares that stretch for millions of miles, that if you could see them, you would be in complete awe of. Suddenly, heaven erupts. Hallelujah. You see, the four beasts are beholding something, and they're in the flow of something, and they've lost consciousness of how long they've done this because they're energized by this continuous flow, and they don't stop. They don't stop. They don't stop. I mean, I am getting to a place in my life when we get into that place of worship, I have to deliberately pull myself out because I know life must go on. Is that your experience yet? If it isn't, it can be. If it isn't, it's on the horizon. Because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. When we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what we're actually saying is this. Among other things, we are saying, God, let the manifestation of your glory, as seen by the multitudes of heaven, let that come down to the earth, that the earth also may be in awe of you. That is the culmination. That is the direction we are going towards the end of days. This is what God is doing. There's a knowledge of God that is coming increasingly into the realm of the earth until there is a fullness, until heaven and earth agree, until the measure of the knowledge of God on earth is the same as the measure of God in heaven. Now the question is, how is God going to do that? How is he going to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? I mean, are we just waiting? Are we just going to be here and say, God, yeah, do that thing. God, I'm in a dark place. Things aren't going good in my life. Do that thing where you come down and reveal your presence. But you know what God is doing? He's raising up sons and daughters, and he's turning to them and says, no, you do that thing. You do that thing. Don't you know what I put inside you? Don't you know that when you got born again, the very seed of the Word of God was placed into your spirit? When you became born again, when you had that first epiphany, that was not the greatest experience of your life. That was the beginning of a succession of experiences that will result in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, the full measure of who Jesus is. That's my intention for your life. Come on. Spanish people, they like to yell too. I go to Central America lots, and they, so if we need to get ready for that Mexican night. Ay, 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 ay. I'm prepared to make a fool of myself. Turn to Revelations. I have glasses here somewhere. In Revelations 22, there's a picture of this, and I'm going to try to be mindful of the time here. I will be mindful of the time. I hate the speakers that speak a long time. I'm one of them. But it says in Revelations 22, and there's some of these things. I'm going to reference certain scriptures, and if you're not sure if that's in the Bible, you can ask Pastor later on or one of the elders or somebody you respect, you know, because anybody who's been around the Word of God, some of these things I'm going to cite, you're going to know that this is actually biblical. But for time's sake, I'm going to reference some and just gloss over others. But it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. So the tree of life was on both sides of the river, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Now, this river was also seen by Ezekiel, and Ezekiel described this river. He said, I saw the city of God, and out of the eastern gate there flowed a river, the river of life. And it flowed, and it says, whatever it touched lived. Whatever it touched lived. When you got born again, when you became a Christian, when you had that revelation, you got touched by that river. He says, whatever that river touches will live. But the thing about the river, it says it gets wider and deeper and wider and deeper until, it, you know, it's ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then it's so deep you can't even stand in it. You have to be swimming or you're caught away. That river that he saw coming out of Jerusalem, out of the eastern gate and touching the earth, that is a picture, a prophetic picture of the plan of redemption for the whole earth. Listen, we are here to change the earth. You know that song saying we are what? We are royalty. We are we are royalty. Have destiny. We are going to change history. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the release of a faith here today. I pray, God, that the dots would be connected, that we would see that, Lord, you've put unsurpassable power in our spirit. When you put that seed inside of there, I pray that even right now, the power of that seed would begin to reverberate. Would it begin to shake off, Lord, the dust and the weight and the darkness that besets this land in Jesus' name. You know, your pastor's wife was up here and what she was saying, I loved your exhortation. Thank you so much. You could have gone for another hour. I would have loved it. We could have camped right there, because what she was talking about is what we're called to do. We're not here to have a nice Christian life. We're here to dispel the darkness. We're here to create another atmosphere. We're here to change the climate. This is real climate change. I don't know what you think about climate change, but I'd like to see some in Canada. Warmer weather. You know, where's that climate change they promised us? But we're here to have real climate change. And the climate change is God is, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So this is God's plan to do this, but how is he going to do it? In what way is this transpiring in our lives? Well, we saw a piece of it this morning. Some of you came in here this morning and maybe you came in distracted. Maybe you came in heavy with burdens. Maybe you came in thinking about your bills. Maybe you came in thinking about a girl you like that you're not sure if she likes you, and you know, you're thinking of sending her a note via her cousin. I don't know, but maybe you are preoccupied with something. Maybe you sinned over the last few days. Maybe you stumbled. Maybe you're not sure if God loves you this morning. And you came in, and you were cocooned in something. But as the morning started to go by, you begin to feel a little bit lighter. You begin to feel like, well, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry for this. Lord, fix this. Lord, change this. Maybe hope begin to spring up in your heart. Maybe you begin to feel encouraged. Maybe you begin to feel lighter. Does anybody feel better now than when they came in this morning? Anybody at all? Okay, there you go. Lots of you have had this experience. That's because the knowledge of the glory of the Lord began to change the atmosphere of this room. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord began to filter in this room. But where did it come from? Somebody says, well, it came from heaven. Well, maybe. But it's not just in heaven. Turn to John chapter 4. Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. And it says, and there's some great things here in this chapter. I love this chapter. Some of the, I won't even talk about it. Never mind. I'm trying to conserve my time. Whoever drinks, verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain springing up into everlasting life. Well, I've been a Christian a long time. And I remember when I first became a Christian, I would go to church, and I eventually enrolled in Bible college. I went to Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. And I was hungry. I was thirsty. Maybe anybody relate to that? I mean, any meeting that was on, I had to be there. I just had to be there. Was it a prayer meeting? Was it a 5 a.m. prayer meeting? Whether it was a couple of guys just gathering around a picnic table. I mean, we're worship. Let's grab a guitar. Let's get in the presence of God. I mean, I thirsted for the presence of God. I looked for any meeting I could go to, any anointed speaker I could sit under. I just wanted, because I was thirsty. I was thirsty all the time. And yet the word says here, it says, if you have a drink of this fountain, you'll never be thirsty. Well, I had drunk. I surely was born again. I was redeemed. But I was thirsty. Why were you still thirsty if you drunk? Jesus said, you know, the promise is this. It says, if you drink, you'll never be thirsty again. Well, you know, there's a transition. There's a process for every promise to come to fulfillment. And this is a promise. How many of you never want to be thirsty again? I want to never be thirsty again. Well, this is what it says. Let's reread that. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain. The drink will become a fountain. One drink will become a fountain. It's like you take one apple and you take the seed out of that. What's in the seed? What's in the seed? Many more apples. Many more trees, many more seeds, but it has to be planted in the ground. It's there, it's right there. It's in the seed. If you could see the DNA strands and you understand something about, you know, genetics, you know that there are tens of thousands of trees and millions of apples in that seed. But there's a bit of a process. You got to put it in the ground, and you got to let it take root, and then there's a cycle of life and death that comes out of that. Well, there's a drink that God has given you. And that drink is meant to be a fountain. Is it a fountain yet? Or is it still a drink that comes from here or from there or from there? Young men, young women of God in here in this place, your journey is not ended by you becoming useful by doing something. Your journey is, and that's good, we're becoming useful, is becoming a fountain. There's a fountain inside of you. There's life inside of you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the revelation of the life that you're meaning to bring out would come to us today. You know, hallelujah. This church, this morning, I begin to feel your warfare. And the enemy is afraid. The enemy is afraid that you would begin to see what God has put inside of you. Do you know the apostolic of Paul was essentially this? I pray that God would open your eyes, that you could see what is inside of you. I pray that you could see the power that's at work inside of you, which is beyond comprehension. Where is it? It's not out there. It's not in heaven. God has translated it and put it into the earth. Now, here's God's plan. There's this river in heaven, and it's magnificent. It's life-giving. It changes. It has the power of redemption. It brings regeneration refreshing of all kinds, in all kinds of ways. But the earth is destitute and dead. So God says, I'm going to release that river on the earth. What I need is I need to get that river that's flowing. See, God's throne is here, and that river is coming out from the throne, but it doesn't say where it's coming from. But obviously, we know it's coming from God. He's the source of life. You know, we sweat. You know what we sweat? God sweats life. God oozes life. And there's nothing negative about it. He just emanates life in every way. But he's looking for a place. How do I get that to the earth? And his plan is this. I know I'm going to create some fountains on the earth. I'm going to create some fountains in the earth. I'm going to create portals between heaven and earth. I'm going to create them in different geographic places all over the earth. They're going to be sort of, they're going to be hubs of life. They're institutional gatherings of believers that function apostolically. And that will be like a fountain of life. But more than that, I'm going to make anybody who wants to be a fountain. Because if the knowledge of God is water, right? If the knowledge of God is water, and this room is very, very dry, you know, and I had the only hose in here, and I was going to start, you know, changing the, you know, the saturation level of water and the humidity in the room, how would it go if I had one of those little tiny little garden things, you know, those little things? It's like a water pick. See, that's what church used to be. You know, we had this little, you know, proverbial spiritual water pick, and and you know what? In the absence of any water at all, that is an amazing resource. But it's not going to change the earth. It's not going to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And God is saying, listen, I want to increase the aperture of your spirit so you're no longer just a water pick. Maybe you can be a quarter inch tube. Maybe you can be a half inch hose. Maybe you can be a fire hydrant. Churches filled with fire hydrants releasing the rivers of God, so much so that it not only changes the atmosphere of the room where people are caught up into things they never even knew possible, but there's so much that it saturates the room and begins to spill out into the streets. And then people walking by are shocked by this. What is this? What is going on here? I don't know what this is. There's life. Holy. Yes, that's what he said. This is God's plan to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I found Christians for years all over the earth saying, oh God, when, you know, I'm reading about revival, you know, that revival in Wales and that revival in the Scottish Isles and that revival at Azusa Street and that revival in South Africa. Lord, do that here, do that here. And God is saying, listen, here's my plan. I want to bring revival, but I'm not going to do it aside from the agency of men and women. My plan is to use men and women because I want to use you as a fountain. So my plan is not to have you perpetually dependent upon something outside of yourself, but to become a fountain. To become a fountain. Now, it's very interesting. When God was going to destroy the earth, remember back when man was sinning really bad and God said to Noah, build me an ark. Very interesting that there's a new Noah's Ark movie coming out with Russell Crowe. Irishman, right? Australian, I know. I just want to see if you'd get annoyed. Anyway, in that day, God flooded the earth. And that destruction brought a transformation. God said, I'm no longer going to destroy the earth with water again. And the promise, I'm going to seal that promise with the rainbow. But you know what? There's a kind of a foreshadowing of God changing the earth again, but not with a flood that destroys, but with a flood that renews and builds. Hallelujah. God will flood the earth again. But it's very interesting when you look at the words, and I'm not going to turn it to that right now, but the water came from two directions. It says that two things happened when the flood came. It says the heavens were opened, right? And this is where Christians have been for a long time. Lord, open the heavens. Father, open the heavens. Lord, we pray. Open the heavens, Lord, open the heavens. And you know what? That prayer is appropriate. But there's more to that. We can maybe talk another time. But the other part of the equation is this. The fountains of the deep were opened. The fountains of the deep. What are the fountains of the deep? Well, they're fountains. It's a metaphorical picture of an end time renewal, an outpouring of the Spirit that not only would be what is seemingly this divine, sovereign move of the heavens opening and things happening beyond our scope, beyond our understanding, beyond the reach and the ability of our individual gifting. It's going to be that, but it's also going to be your fountain coming to full maturity. You getting to the place where you function like Jesus functioned. Jesus said to his disciples, said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And God is saying, listen, I am going to raise up a people on the earth. I'm going to have a generation. I'm going to have an entire people on the face of the earth who are going to walk around and their whole lives can be summarized in one prophetic picture. They will be a fountain. You are called to be a fountain. Now, we could probably spend weeks explaining, okay, what are the dynamics around becoming a fountain? Like, what are the hindrances? What are the positives? Is there any obedience required? Are you know, all of those things, and I'm sure that's what's happening right now, wherever you are. I mean, the discipleship that's going on, your outreach, everything you're doing, your prayer gatherings, your worship, everything is tailored to increasing your capacity to be a source of life. Pastor is here and his wife is here. They are gathered here and they're functioning not because, oh, who should I randomly choose? You know, yeah, God does choose. God has sovereign, you know, gifts that he gives people. But if they don't become the fountain that God has called them to be, they would not have a ministry. If we don't become the fountain that God has called us to be, we won't have a ministry. So this morning here, there's two types of people, and I'm not going to point you out, so don't get nervous. No. But there's some people that come to a meeting like this, and they are, you know, they're like Eeyore. You know who Eeyore is? Eeyore, Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore. Hello. Beautiful day, Eeyore, I guess. You know, you're just not alive spiritually. You're not vital. It's not that you stop believing. You're just under something. You're under something. You come here and you're just, I need a breath of fresh air. And what happens is somebody else near you starts being the fountain that they are. And okay, maybe they're not a water fountain. Maybe they're just a little water pick. But you know, it's, you know, that's what worship does. When I begin to press in the Spirit, and I didn't know this. I didn't understand this. I used to go to these meetings, and I loved them, and I had an insatiable desire to pray. So I would go to my prayer room, and I would pray in tongues. I would just pray in tongues. I remember being encased. I was a very broken person. If you are broken in any way, I bet you I was more broken than you. Now, some of you were more broken than me, probably. But I mean, let me just say, for the record, I grew up, no, and I've never been taller than I am today. And so I had to fight a lot. I got beat up. I fought in bars. I fought in school. I was sexually molested. My parents threatened to kill each other in front of my eyes. I mean, smashing glass, violence. I mean, just, you know, the whole thing. You know, we all come from these backgrounds, and you could scarcely find anybody more insecure than me. more ashamed of who they were, hiding most of their emotions and their feelings because they're not just shut down in so many ways. And so the smallest circumstances that was out of order in my life brought this wave of depression and darkness and heaviness on me. But I discovered something, that in the presence of God, in the presence of God, all of that started to change. Oh, and I thought, this is so amazing. And I started to make this connection. I thought, okay, I go to this meeting and we start praying in tongues or singing and things start to change. How did that happen? What's going on there? You know, I want to get that. And I began to realize, you know, I could get that here, I think. I should learn to play guitar. And so I thought that was the key. I'm going to start to play guitar. So I started to learn to play guitar, and I just begin to sing and worship out of tune. But it didn't matter. And I would pray in tongues. And I remember these circumstances. I had no money. I was a student at Christ for the Nation, Dallas, Texas. Not allowed to work there. I'm a Canadian. Can't work. Don't have a green visa or anything, or a green card. So I would go there, and I'd be inundated with, like, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get some groceries? How am I going to pay next semester's costs? You know, who am I going to marry? You know, all of these vexing issues. Nobody here has that? In denial. It's not just a river in Egypt. So I would go in heavy, and I began to pray in tongues. And, you know, it says here, let me read it to you. Because I love this metaphor, and it is a metaphor. It's a picture, though it is literal in a heavenly sense. But it says in John 7:37 and 38, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So that was what came on the day of Pentecost. But I began to realize that I could go into a secret place. I could be driving the car and praying in tongues. And that life that I used to feel during intense and wonderful worship would start to permeate the atmosphere around me. And after a while, I began to realize that the longer I went, it's like it would get thicker and thicker around me. And you know what? Let me show you something about the anatomy of our spirit being, who we are. Do you know you have autonomy over a jurisdiction? You have a realm that extends past your physical body. You know, when people, you heard of that somebody gets too close to you? You know, if you watch Seinfeld, you see the close talker? You know, anybody? No? You know what a close talker is? Hey, how you doing? You know, some space invaders, yes. Somebody gets in your space. What is that? That is a literal realm that you own. You have jurisdiction over. I had a friend who was a police officer, and when they'd interrogate, part of his thing would be to find out where somebody's space began and to encroach upon that space to intimidate them. Very, very interesting. So, you know, he had his cup of coffee, and he said he put it closer and closer to the guy he's interviewing until the guy pushed it away. And he went, that's where it starts. And so he would find every opportunity to get in that space. So you have a space around you. But when you begin to pray in the Spirit, when you begin to release that water from your spirit, what happens? You begin to change the atmosphere around you. You actually begin to fill up. You have your own little private bath. And when you pray in the Spirit, and this is what happened. I'd pray in tongues, and after 10, I didn't feel like praying in the Spirit. I was depressed. I was thinking about my problems. I was thinking about the impossibility of my situation. But I knew that God was bigger than these things. And so I decided not to say, God, come, change, some, encourage me, send somebody along to give me a word. Now, sometimes we need that. And sometimes that's the only way we can break out of things. But we can't stay there all of our lives. There comes a point where God starts to say, listen, you come out. You begin to lay hold of what I've already given you. You begin to stir up the gift that's inside of you. You begin to take a bath yourself. I began to pray in tongues, and it was amazing because I'd be thinking about, I got no money, and nobody even hardly knows I'm in Dallas. Lord, how are you going to let anybody know, that I need money without me? Because I felt the Lord say, don't tell anybody, you need money. Oh, that's really hard. But I would start praying, and these God thoughts, like arrows, would start to pierce my mind. It was like all of a sudden scriptures would start to come alive. And, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. If God, nothing's impossible to him that believes. Nothing's impossible to God. A bird doesn't fall to the ground and die except God knows it. What do I have to worry about? I've never seen the righteous forsaking bread, the word says. And all of a sudden, these things begin to get larger than the doubts, and the darkness, and the depression. What's happening is you're contending for your destiny that moment. It's great. I love that song. We have destiny, but we got to grab it. We got to lay hold of it. When you're a child, everything is being done for you. But when you begin to come out of that, now it's time for you to begin to do that for others. See, a strong church is made up of many hubs. And those hubs are always gathered around, not somebody who just wants a position, but somebody who is a fountain. What draws people are fountains. Fresh water. I had a pastor who used to say, we don't steal sheep, but we do grow grass. You have a river inside of you. Now, some of you here may not even be spirit-filled. You might not pray in tongues. You might think, I would like to. I wish I had another hour to tell you how I came into this, because I never had an experience or a feeling. Somebody prayed for me, and I believed, and I began to speak, and I had nothing to back it up to tell me it was real. But today, I've had many times when I've spoken in tongues, and other people from other countries have heard me and understood word for word everything I said. One time I was in a church. I began to speak to a lady, and I felt to pray in tongues. I began to pray in the spirit. She was a native Canadian, and suddenly she opens her eyes really big. She says, do you know what you just did? I said, no, but it felt really cool. What happened? She said, you just spoke to me in Blackfoot. Well, not you, the Father. The Father just spoke to me, told me about my life and everything that was happening. You may be here today thinking, I'd like to speak in tongues. You know what? Some of these things you just need to believe and step into. Believe and step into. Believe and step into. They're not being held back from you. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything God has given to somebody else. I mean, there are dispensations. I mean, there's levels of authority in the kingdom that you can't have. They're not there for the asking. John and James found that out. So did their mother. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that, Mom. You remember James and John, the mom goes to Jesus. Yeah, can you give this to my sons? Any of your moms come to the pastor? Pastor, my son Alan, he's a little insecure, but could you make him the associate? Is there an Alan here? You don't have to wait for the heavens will open. The heavens will open. I'm anticipating a day of unmatched, unprecedented release of the knowledge of God. But how will we know how to steward that river that comes from heaven if we haven't learned to flow in the river that comes from the earth? There's a fountain of the deep inside of you that is breaking open, that is making you a fountain, and you learning to participate with that fountain and to become a place of origin for that life out there in the street and at work and at school where you are. This is the guarantee that when the heavens open, you're not going to be swept away in the monsoon, but you're going to know how to swim because you've been in this river for a long time. And I want to tell you, that every time you break through, every time you don't get any outside help, every time there's darkness over you and you just say, no, God is alive. God is my Father. God has not forsaken me. My sin is not too great for the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus is greater than all of my weaknesses. When you begin to say that and you decide, no, the presence of God is for me. I'm not going to languish out here in the shadows. I'm going to step into that place because God is my Father and He loves me. Every time that you break from the natural into the spiritual, something is added to your life. And what God sees, well, what's the purpose of the corporate? The purpose of the corporate is far greater because there is a flow that happens in the corporate when 100 fountains open up that cannot be matched by one fountain open up. That there's things to be learned and to navigate in the corporate that you will never learn navigating by yourself. But you will never fully participate in what happens in the corporate until you become a fountain yourself. This is the plan of God. And he's gonna release so many people. So many of us are going to be amazing fountains, just gushing volumes and volumes and volumes. Have you ever noticed that? Some speakers, some people when they pray, man, I get so much life when that guy prays. You know, this guy, he says the same words. But when that guy prays, it just, my spirit. What is that? Fountain. That's volume, and not loudness volume, but volume, you know, area times. You have a fountain waiting for you. There's a river of such amazing strength, a breadth and a depth. An amount of energy in it we can't even possibly, and it's running right by your house, right by your land. In fact, it's running right under your land right now. And God said, I made a well. I made that access. Draw some of that up there. Draw some of that out. That's your key. So we're going to go into a time of ministry, and we're going to pray for some of you. And the objective of our prayer, we may prophesy over some of you, but what I want to pray is open up. Open up, open up, open up, open up, open up. Amen? Do you want the aperture of your spirit to increase and enlarge? Do you want to be dependent upon, you know, hoping somebody has a word for you today? I tell you, I prayed in tongues for 20 minutes already this morning or even longer. I don't know how many words there were for me in that, but there was lots. Because God's speaking all the time. God is speaking all the time. Amen. Amen. I just had to say something to you there. What, right there, what's your name? Yeah, you. What? Allie. Just come up here for a second, Allie. I just want... Is that bad? Just stand right there. John, come up here. Just stand right there. I saw the Holy Spirit on you earlier when you were worshiping. And I want you to just close your eyes and just reach out to the Lord right now. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bless Allie right now. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, that amazing love that you have for her, Father, that is over her life, Father, that as you have gazed down, I saw the Father looking at you, Allie, and his heart was beaming as he looked at you. And he said, I wish Allie knew how much I love her. I wish she could understand that there's no risk in me. There is no threat. There is no possibility that I'll ever pull back my spirit from her. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the revelation of your life, your love for her, would blossom in her spirit. I pray for a divine shift in her life. And Father, even as she has experienced some of you, I say, Lord, let her experience much more in Jesus' name. You know, the enemy has worked so long in your life. I see from the time, it's like there are these fears, there are these things in your life, and I don't even know what they are, but I'm saying right now in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, I say no to every device, to everything that has been calculated to destroy, to hurt, or to wound you, or to make you feel disqualified. I say in Jesus' name, you are completely qualified. Father, in the name of Jesus, uncap, just stand there. Don't fall. Uncap in Jesus' name. Uncap in Jesus' name. Rivers of living water. Amen. Do you have some? Thank you. You can come back later too. But I, you know, sometimes I these days I sometimes your seat is that one. I was gonna, you know, sometimes we can move in a strong prophetic flow, and the prophetic comes in different ways. But I just looked at her. You know, when Jesus said it, he looked at the rich young ruler. You know what it said? And he loved him. He loved him. Why? Because Jesus was in touch with the Father's heart. And it wasn't that Jesus, well, doesn't Jesus love everybody? Yeah. But sometimes he loves people more than others. John was the disciple Jesus loved. Oh, man, that just, we got to teach on that or something. I felt somebody like, what? Don't get nervous. There's lots left over. There's lots left over. But you can come into a place, and there are times in our lives when that love comes upon us in the most amazing way. But it's, anyway, I won't teach on that. So there's some of you on you right now. I see the love of God. The love of God is on you.